But I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bible to the New Testament book called Ephesians. I want to ask you to turn to Ephesians chapter 5. And what the way I came to this today is I was thinking about the men in the room today. I was thinking about dads, and really there are two roles that you and I fulfill, and that is the role of being a husband and the role of being a dad. I think those are crucial. And so what I did, as you may or may not know, this summer I'm doing a series of messages over some of the messages I've preached over the last 25 plus years. And so I found a message that I'd preached 13 years ago. I preached a message called from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. I preached a message called What Women Want. Y'all may remember that, I'm not sure. I was drying my hair one morning and I fell, and none of that's true. It didn't happen that way at all. But I prepared a message called What Women Want from Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, and I'm going to read that. But I also found a message that I had preached, and I don't remember how many years ago this one was, but I preached a message that I called Some Do's and Don'ts for Dads. And that was from Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. So what I'm going to attempt to do this morning is take those two messages and kind of combine them together and share with you some thoughts from both of those, because, again, I think it helps us to understand the role of many of the men in this room today of being both a husband and being a dad. And so would you stand with me and honor the reading of the Word of God? I'm first of all going to read Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. And this is a word that Paul gave to the husbands. He said, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Okay? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now skip down to chapter 6 and verse 4 and hear what he said. He said, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." So two verses of Scripture, one of them addressed to the man as a husband, the other one addressed unto the man as a dad. And if I would summarize those two verses for the men in the room today, I would say whenever God spoke to us about being husbands, here's what he said. He said, "Love your wife. Love your wife." And then if we could summarize what he said to the men as a dad, he was saying, "Train up your children." Those are two big jobs, men. Love your wife. Train your children. Let's pray. Father, today I thank you for the opportunity just to stand once again in this place. And Lord, I pray that you will direct my heart and my mind today in what you want me to say. And Lord, I pray that our ears will be open to hear what you have to say to us through your sweet Holy Spirit. And God, I pray that we will do what you ask us to do. Father, once again today, I thank you for the men who are in this room. I thank you for those today who are husbands. I thank you for those who are dads. And God, I pray that you will speak to their heart, especially today. That God, this message is not just for the men in the room today, but for all of us, because we all need Jesus. And the only way we can do what you've called us to do and even survive in this crazy world that we're living in is by having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So God, I pray for every man, every woman, every young person, boy or girl in this room today. Help us to hear what you have to say to us. For I pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's start in chapter 5 and verse 25, where Paul said, to the men, husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Let's begin today, first of all, with just this simple statement that, as a matter of fact, whenever I preached that message some 13 years ago about what women want, here's what women want more than anything else from their husband, and that is to know that they're loved. Love your wife. And by the way, I noticed whenever I studied this passage of Scripture, there are several different Greek words in your Bible that are translated into our English word love. One is the Greek word phileo. You hear that word even in the name of the city of Philadelphia, Philadelphia, phileo, Delphia. It is a word that describes brotherly love, the kind of love that you have for your friends, family, neighbor. I mean, it's that kind of a love. And whenever you read that word in your Bible, it's found some 45 times in the Scripture. There's another Greek word that is translated love, and that's the Greek word eros, E-R-O-S. It is a word that describes sexual love. It is a word that is often associated with immoral love. The good news for you and for me, that word is found zero times in the Bible. But when you come to the other word, that is the word agape, agape love is sacrificial love. It is selfless love. I've oftentimes described it as God's kind of love. That kind of love in your Bible is mentioned at least 300 times in your Bible. It is a word that we find oftentimes in the Bible, like John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It's that kind of a love. It's the kind of love that God has for everyone in this room today. Isn't that good? It is also the kind of love that the Bible says dwells in the heart of every believer in Christ. Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So the love that you have as a believer in Christ is that kind of a love. And so whenever Paul came and talked to the husbands and said, husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church, he did not use the Greek word phileo. He did not use the Greek word eros. He used the Greek word agape. You need to love your wife with a sacrificial love like the Lord Jesus Christ. So love your wife. And here's what I did in that message those 13 years ago. I took the little word love, L-O-V-E, and I used that word to describe the kind of love that a husband ought to have for his wife. So if there's nobody else taking notes today, every man in the room ought to be taking notes today. And she's going to be looking to see if you are. So here's what I want to share with you about the kind of love that God wants us to have for our wives. Number one, the first letter is L, and I use that word to mean, or that letter to mean, listen to her. Every woman in the room would say amen, I want my husband to listen to me. I use some scriptures, and I don't have time to look all these up today, but 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 talks about dwelling with your wife according to knowledge. As a matter of fact, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 is not one of the favorite verses of the feminists in the world today, but yet it is a great Bible verse. The Bible says that we dwell with her. That means you live with her. That means you draw near to her in intimacy. In the Bible, when it says dwell with her according to knowledge, it means to live with her in an understanding way. It does not mean necessarily that you do understand her, but you are at least trying to understand her, right? And so he's trying to understand her. So one of the ways that you will let your wife know that you love her is that you're going to listen to her. I read some time ago, well, I didn't read this, I knew this by experience, but by experience that women like to talk. But I read some time ago, and I assume this is true, some time ago that said that the average man will speak about 2,000 words a day, and that the average woman will speak some 7,000 words a day, with gust up to 25,000. And so whenever you hear that, you come to understand that men, because of the way God made us, do not talk as much as women. I'm gonna make a profound statement right here. I hope you're listening. Men and women are different. Now, I'm telling you, that's a profound statement because we live in a world that wants to blur the line between the sexes and want to make us all alike. We're not alike. We're not alike physically. We're not alike emotionally. And in many ways, we are different. But yet, whenever you understand the way God put a woman together, she is a woman who likes to talk. As somebody has said, she's like some of you remember the old tea kettle that you put on the stove and you want to warm up the water. She's been at home perhaps all day or maybe working all day, I don't know, but she's been building up all these words that she has to say. And so whenever you get home from work, she has something that she would like to say. And so whenever she begins to speak, you need to listen to her. By the way, it's not hard to get her to talk. All you have to say is, "How was your day?" She'll take it from there. And all you have to do is every now and then just say, "Uh-huh." And let her know that you are listening to her. I read about one man who said, "I have not talked to my wife in 6 weeks. I didn't want to interrupt her." So I'm saying to you that if you want to show your wife that you love her, you need to listen to her. And so whenever you come home from work or wherever it might be, I think one of the things that you must do is listen to her. Whenever I've counseled with young couples who are about to get married, I used to talk about everybody needs a healthy dose of vitamin C, and every word of counsel I had began with the C. Of course, Christ was in there, church is in there, but one of the words that I used also as a C was that word communicate. Communicate. Talk to her, listen to her. I've often heard my wife said to me, she said, "Would you give me just 5 minutes? Would you listen to me for just 5 minutes?" So I'm saying to you men today, if you come home and you go to the recliner and you plop down the recliner and you turn on the television set and you don't listen to your wife, then you're not loving your wife the way you ought to love your wife. You need to listen to her. And all the ladies said, number two, the letter O. I suggested this. Number two, you open up to her. I don't refer to Song of Solomon a whole lot, but Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 10, it begins like this. "Rise up, my love," or excuse me, "my beloved spake unto me." I like that. "My beloved spake unto me." These two things go together. That is, not only should you listen to her, but you also need to talk to her. Sometimes in a marriage counseling, a lady will say something like this: "He won't talk. He doesn't say anything." So you need to talk to her. And whenever you say, when the lady says to him, "What's wrong?" he says, "Nothing." And so what I'm saying to you is, if you want to show her that you love her, you need to talk to her. And please understand again, because men aren't big talkers and ladies do like to talk, we are going against the flow here a little bit, but men have to talk. I confess to you today, I am involved in a profession that requires me to talk. When I go to work, I have to talk to my staff. Whenever I have somebody to come to my office, I talk to people who come to my office. Whenever I go out on visitation, I talk to people who I'm visiting. So I spend a lot of time talking. But if I'm not very careful, by the time I get to the end of the day and I drive to my home, I've used up my 2,000 words. But the worst thing that I can do would just be go home and say nothing. So the Bible says, not only in loving her are we supposed to listen to her, but I think we also ought to open up to her. Let me say a third thing, and that is the letter V. And the letter V I'm going to use to say value her. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 15, I'll not spend a lot of time here because I'm standing here today in a mixed crowd of all different ages. But in Proverbs chapter 5, verse 15, the Bible says, drink water of thine own cistern and running waters unto thine own well. The idea there simply, men, is that God has provided. Let me just say it like this. When it comes to sexuality in the world, according to the Word of God, sexual relationships are confined between a man and a woman who are a husband and wife. That's it. So a man ought not to be looking somewhere else for any kind of satisfaction. He should not lust after other women. He should not look at pornography. There are other things that I could say about that. I simply say this today, that you ought to, in your relationship as husband and wife, that's where the satisfaction ought to come from, and nowhere outside of that. Everything else would be sin. The last letter in that word love, L-O-V-E, is the word letter E. I use that to stand for esteem. And again, back in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 says, giving honor unto the wife. The word honor means to esteem her. And it really means to esteem her to the highest degree. What the Bible is saying is, whenever you are a husband and you have your wife, that she needs to be honored, she ought to be esteemed, she ought to be appreciated, she ought to be respected. Listen to me today. Don't ever refer to your wife as the old lady. We got young people in this room today. Don't ever refer to your mom as the old lady. That disrespects her. You need to have a high regard for her. Solomon, who's the wisest man in all the world, said in Proverbs 31:28, he said, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. So you ought to esteem her. Oh, listen, it's a big job to be the husband who will love his wife like Christ loved the church. And I haven't really even talked about that today, but you understand, I hope, that when you think about how much Jesus Christ loved the church, he loved the church so much that he died for the church. That is a picture of sacrificial love at the very highest level that you could imagine. And so the Bible is saying for us who are husbands that we ought to love our wives like Christ loved the church, which is a sacrificial love. And by now you probably understand what I'm talking about is not something that you can do naturally. It is something that can only be done supernaturally. I would say to every man in the room today, you will never ever be able to love your wife like Christ loved the church if you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so your first job, the Bible says, is to be the husband. And the first thing in chapter 5, verse 25, is to love her. Secondly, let me say this quickly. I'm now in chapter 6, verse 4. Well, the Bible also says these instructions to a dad that you ought to not provoke your children to wrath. And so I suggested that there are some do's and some don'ts for dads. And so I'm going to share with those with you rather quickly today. So first of all, look at verse 4 of my text in chapter 6 of Ephesians. Verse 4 says, first part of it, and you fathers, provoke not your children unto wrath. That is, here are some things that you do not do. Don't provoke. What's that word mean? It is a word that means don't discourage your children. It means don't harass your children. Some even translate it like this: do not overcorrect your children. Now you understand there's a difference between correcting your children and overcorrecting your children. So it's saying don't correct your children unto wrath. And the word wrath there suggests an anger that comes alongside. The word describes a deep-seated resentment that tends to boil over into hostility. And so he says, do not overcorrect your children. Do not provoke your children unto wrath. Can I give you some suggestions? I'll tell you some things to don't do, things that will provoke your children. Here they are. Number one, don't be unreasonable. Sometimes we have to remember, children, again, our world today has trouble with this. Children are not little adults. They're not. They're children. That's why they have a daddy. That's why they have a mama. They need somebody to help them. So don't give them unrealistic expectations. If you put unreasonable expectations on a child, you will discourage that child. So don't be unreasonable. Number two, don't be always negative. Do you know that negative parents produce negative children? If all you are is negative, if all you ever say to your child is this, don't do this and don't do that and don't do the other, if that's all you're ever saying to your child, then you're going to cause them to be resentful towards you. And that's whenever children come and say about their parents, say, well, they don't ever say I do anything right, because all it is negative, negative, negative. Let me tell you something. This will go with any kind of relationship that you want to talk about. But I think it applies here between fathers and their children. Raising children is kind of like opening up a bank account. If all you do is withdraw and you don't put in enough deposits, you're going to be overdrawn. And if all you do is criticize, but you don't come in and praise and praise and praise, my friend, you will be overdrawn in relationship to your kids. Number three, I would suggest do not be smothering. Children need guidelines. Children need rules. Children need restrictions. I understand all that, but you cannot be overprotected to the point that they feel like that you don't even trust them wherever they go. So don't be smothering. I must hurry up a little bit. A number four, I would suggest, boy, this is a big one, don't be inconsistent. I see this a lot in parenting today. Parents who at one time, this little boy, this little girl does something and they laugh at it. And then the very next time they do the very same thing and now they're in trouble for it. And that sends a mixed message to that child. They don't know whether that's something good, that is bad. I'm suggesting to you that you be consistent in your discipline. There's a fifth thing I suggest, that is don't be neglectful. And I know it's Father's Day, and I'm speaking primarily to dads, but this would go for mamas as well, but primarily to dads, I'm saying to you that don't be neglectful of your children. We live in a world that we have now. We have these terms that I don't remember hearing whenever I was just a boy. We have the terms of absentee fathers and deadbeat dads. So don't neglect your children. I'm going to tell you, God has blessed you with that little boy and that little girl, and you need to love that child. Don't neglect that child. And the other thing I would say, and I'll be done with this one, and that is, don't be selfish. Dad still has a life, I know. And I know what dads like to do. Well, I know what some dads like to do. They like to go to the golf course. They like to go to the fishing hole. They like to go sit in the tree stand. And I'm not saying don't do any of that, but I'm going to tell you what, if that's all you do and you neglect your children, you're not being the dad that God wants you to be, and you're being overly selfish. You know how children spell love? You know how your children spell love? T-I-M-E. Time. Spend time with them. So don't neglect your children. Now, that's the negative side. Then there's a positive side. He said in verse 4, provoke not your children unto wrath. But then he said, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. So here are some do's that I want to give you. Number one, he says, bring them up. It's a tender term. It's like a tender plant that has to grow in order that it might become strong. I remember my granddad was, you would call him a guy with a green thumb. You know, he was that kind of guy that he grew a garden. It was the best garden you could ever see. But I remember whenever my granddad would plant his tomato plants, and he would plant those little plants. They weren't over about this tall, and they were very tender, and he'd plant them out in the ground. And as you well know, out in Oklahoma, the wind comes sweeping down the plain. And so he would take a gallon can that maybe had vegetables in or something, and he would cut the ends out of that gallon can. He'd put that around that tomato plant that would protect it from the wind. And I think of that whenever I read this passage of scripture, that the idea is that we take care of them like a very fragile flower or a very fragile plant. Bring them up, he said, in the nurture of the Lord. The word there means the discipline to correct them, to sometimes bring punishment to them. And I don't have time to go into all this today, but I would simply say to you that we live in a world today where many people think that children don't need to be disciplined. They don't need to have punishment. But whenever you read the Word of God, there always has to be balance. But the Bible talks about you need to correct your children. You need to discipline your children. That doesn't mean that you abuse them, but it does mean that you discipline them. And listen, if you do not discipline your children when they are young, the court system will discipline them when they are old. One other thing, he said, bring them up in the nurture, and he said, the admonition of the world. The word admonition means giving encouraging, positive instruction and direction. The wisest man in all the world said, train up a child in the way he should go. The word train, there's a word that means to build a hedge around, to protect once again. It suggests almost like a pen to protect them while you're raising them whenever they are young. And so you need to train them up in the nurture and the admonition of the world. I'm simply saying you need to give some direction to your children. I'm going to suggest every dad, number one, direct them to Christ. There will be no greater joy in all of your life than leading that little boy, that little girl to faith in Jesus Christ. Direct them to Christ. Number two, direct them to church. And by that, I simply mean that you need to bring them to the house of God. Do you hear what I'm saying? I don't mean come into the parking lot and drop them off. I mean bring them to the house of God. Direct them. You need to also direct them in consecration. That is, in your life and in your home. Dad, you need to take control. Take control of the television set and what's being watched. Take control of the computer screen and what's being looked at. You need to take control of that little cell phone that everybody has these days. So what I'm saying to you, you are the dad in the home, and if you're going to raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, you have to set some boundaries for them. Because as I said to these young couples a little while over in the fellowship hall, listen, every dad, listen to me right now. Your number one job is to raise that little boy and that little girl to be a godly young man or a godly young lady. I know you do something else. You have another trade that you earn money so that you can put food on the table. And I understand that's important, but your number one job is raising that little boy and raising that little girl. I close with this poem I heard years ago, and I've read it here before. But I hope every dad will listen. A little poem, it says this. I may never be as clever as my neighbor down the street. I may never be as wealthy as some other men I meet. I may never have the glory that some other men have had, but I've got to be successful as that little fellow's dad. There are certain dreams I cherish that I'd like to see come true. There are things I would accomplish when my working time is through. But the task my heart is set on is to guide a little lad and to make myself successful as that little fellow's dad. I may never get earth's glory. I may never gather gold. Men may count me as a failure when my business life is told. But if he who follows after is a Christian, I'll be glad, for I'll know I've been successful as that little fellow's dad. The big job to be a dad. The big job to be the husband who loves his wife like Christ loves the church. But it can be done with the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Dad, Mom, if you've never given your heart to Jesus, you ought to do that today. I want to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes for a word of prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed, please, for just a moment. In just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing our final song. And although today I've spent my time talking primarily to dads, I want everyone in the room to hear what I'm saying right now. The only way that you can be the successful man, woman, young person that you ought to be is by having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's not that difficult. If you know that you're a sinner and you believe that Jesus is God's Son who died and rose again, the Bible says that if you're willing to repent of your sin, which means to turn away from your sin, and ask Jesus to come in your life, forgive your sin, be your Savior, Jesus Christ Himself will take up residence in your life, and He will enable you to do what you cannot do by yourself. And in addition to that, He will prepare for you a home in heaven so that when all of life is over, you get to go and be with Him. And that's what our invitation is about today. I'm asking, first of all, if you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, you don't know what it is to have a home in heaven. Whenever we stand to sing, come take one of our pastors by the hand and say, today, I'm giving my life to Jesus. There may be some of you in this room today who say, I have done that, but I saw those two get baptized early in the service. I've never been baptized. I'm a believer, but I've never been baptized. Would you come today and say, today I want to take that step of obedience. I want to follow Jesus in baptism. Perhaps you're looking for a church home. God brought you to this place today. God's been speaking to your heart. You know you need a church place. You need a family. You need a place where you can plug in and serve. And if this is where God wants you to be, I invite you to come today and just say, I want to become a part of Westside Baptist Church. Father, right now, please speak to our hearts. Draw us to yourselves. Have your way in every life. For I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you join me in standing? Our pastors are in their places. God's spoken to your heart today. There's something God wants you to do. Come do it right now.